For any size donation before Ash Wednesday, March 2nd, we'll send you my 2022 Lenten devotional booklet. Make a secure online gift at thewordendures.org or make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And we'll send you a Lenten journey through Genesis.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And think of this, beloved.
Had he gone there himself, the church would have been deprived of all the joys in that letter that St. Timothy carried. Can you imagine not having the hymn to love, the institution of the supper, the great chapter on the resurrection?
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of 2 Corinthians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Well, in our previous podcast, St. Paul began with the boast of having a clear conscience in the way he and Timothy had behaved. For it was with simplicity and sincerity and entirely by the grace of God, and especially in his dealings with the Corinthian congregation. And he wanted to make it clear that he's not writing to them one thing and thinking or preaching another, but he's being straightforward with them. And if they didn't quite get what he was saying in that previous epistle, he's trusting this one will clear things up for them. He doesn't want them thinking he was wishy-washy because his plans changed and he didn't make the previously promised visit, sending Timothy instead. Rather, he wants them to understand that he is always a man under orders as an apostle of Christ, and he follows the leading of the Spirit, and the Spirit sometimes puts the kibosh on his own plans, and he's cool with that and hopes they will be too. A reading from 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we preached among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. But I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 24. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, enter in, and in our hearts your work begin, your dwelling place now make us. Son of the soul, O light divine, around and in us brightly shine. To joy and gladness wake us, that we may be truly living, to you giving prayer unceasing and in love be still increasing. Give to your word impressive power, that in our hearts from this glad hour as fire it may be burning, that in true Christian unity we faithful witnesses may be your glory ever showing. Hear us, cheer us by your teaching. Let our preaching and our labor praise you, Lord, and serve our neighbor. Amen. Well, are you ready to think about God's word for today? I am. Let's get into this. Verse 18. As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. This goes back to them thinking Paul was vacillating because his plans shifted. Paul grabs hold of that misunderstanding in order to give them a beautiful bit of gospel, which we're about to hear. But first, our word means our preaching to you, and it's an hour because St. Paul was joined in the labor in Corinth by both St. Silas, or Silvanus, and Timothy. See Acts 18, verse 5. And recall how St. Paul in the previous epistle had characterized his preaching to them. Nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See 1 Corinthians 2, 2. And that message, people loved by God, is not both yes and no. In other words, it's not a, well, it depends sort of message. It's unequivocal. St. John Chrysostom told his congregation in the 4th century, Paul had to explain why he couldn't keep his promise so that the Corinthians would not distrust his preaching. In fact, what Paul preached was reliable. His promise to come to them had been from himself. But the message that he proclaimed was from God. Verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. St. Paul declares that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that is Jesus the Messiah, is the content of their apostolic preaching. Hey, if you have preaching going on that doesn't proclaim Jesus to you, whatever else it is, that's not the gospel entrusted to the apostles. Time to turn and run from it. The very early father, St. Ignatius of Antioch, sounded the warning to his congregation in Antioch a few centuries before Chrysostom was bishop there. Listen, close your ears then if anyone preaches to you without speaking of Jesus Christ. And the Jesus that Paul preached was no vacillator. The Jesus Paul preached was one solid, massive yes. He explains what that means. Verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. All God's promises find their yes in Jesus. Every promise you read in the Old Testament scriptures ends up being yes to you in him. He's the crusher of the serpent's head. He's Abraham's promised blesser of the families of the earth. He's Judah's lion. He's the promised lamb. He's the true David, the king of Israel. He's the child who is Emmanuel, God with us, virgin born, God in the flesh. He's the one stricken for the sins of the people. He's the redeemer in whom Job hoped and for whom he waited. Now, we don't have time to actually run through them all, but just realize that the entirety of the Old Testament promises are one solid huge yes in Jesus and a yes for you. Thus, receiving the yes, which is God's great, I love you, we speak back to God through Jesus a mighty amen to the Father's glory. Verse 21. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. If the promises of God are all yes in Jesus, then above all, that promise of the outpouring of the Spirit that you find in the prophets, like in Joel 2:28 and in Ezekiel 36, verse 27, that is eo ipso, amen, and so yours. God plants you solidly into Christ through the preaching of the gospel, and in him he anoints you with his Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is given into your hearts as God's seal that you belong to him, and that whatever promises are still hanging out there, waiting for their fulfillment in the future, will surely be yours. Above all, that means the taking of your soul upon death into the mansions Christ has prepared, the appearing of Christ as your deliverer from the present evil age, the resurrection of your body on that last day, and the joys of the dawning of that day without evening in the kingdom of your Father. The Spirit guarantees you that this will all be yours because you belong to Jesus, and Jesus has promised it all with an unqualified yes to you. Verse 23. But I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. After giving them that joyous gospel, he gets back to the misunderstanding. He sent Timothy with the letter, 1 Corinthians, rather than returning himself right away. And that was, he says, to spare you. Chrysostom again. Paul stayed away from Corinth, at least partly, because if he had gone there, he would have had to take on the role of disciplinarian, which neither he nor they wanted. And think of this, beloved. Had he gone there himself, the church would have been deprived of all the joys in that letter that St. Timothy carried. Can you imagine not having the hymn to love, the institution of the supper, the great chapter on the resurrection? What a loss that would have been. And so the Spirit, all-knowing as always, directed Paul to handle it by letter. And for that, we shout our thanks to God. Verse 24. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. You see, Paul never wanted to be the boss of anyone. He wanted to give out the joyous gift of the gospel that plants people firmly into Christ and floods their hearts with joy. Everything he ever tried to accomplish in the church was directed toward that end. St. Peter, remember, operated the same way. Think, though he is given the keys of the kingdom, though he is named first among the apostles, he writes so humbly in his first epistle as a mere fellow elder. Remember? So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. 1 Peter 5, 1-3. How beautiful indeed it would be if in the church all pastors never forgot that they were not there to be the big cheeses, but to be helpers of their people's joy. C.F.W. Walther, a great Lutheran theologian of the 19th century, once said that he thought that verse should be the basis of every pastor's initial sermon in a congregation. Here's what I'm here for, guys, to help you to joy in the Lord. I'm not to boss you guys around, but to help you grow in joy. That's where we're going to call a halt for today, people loved by God. Next up, we move into the second chapter of this letter, where Paul will talk more about why he avoided that visit to the Corinthian congregation, and we'll find out that it was above all because he didn't want to cause them pain. He knew that he was the one who was supposed to make them glad, and similarly, they were supposed to make him glad. So he wrote them instead of traveling to the city himself, so that when he came, the word he shared in his letter might have done its job and worked the repentance God desires. And then he and they would be able to rejoice together. And he shares that he wrote to them out of massive affliction and heartache. This was not at all because he didn't love them, but because he did. Sometimes, as you know, love has to speak hard, hard truths. But as long as those truths are spoken in love, it's all to the good. And sometimes it's better to speak those truths in a letter or other communication that will give scope to the Spirit's work of moving the person to repent. Sometimes face-to-face is better after you've written about your concern. And like I said before, a massive thanks be to God that Paul felt compelled to write them rather than just run back to Corinth, so that Christians throughout the ages now have at their disposal all the goodies which the Holy Spirit through St. Paul packed into 1 Corinthians. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.